Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Our listener's choice vote continues. If you've not already, go to vote.greatdetectives.net and cast your vote by Saturday. You can vote in both the standard poll and the short division poll. With the top 20 in the standard poll and the top 5 in the short division poll, advancing to be listener's choice winners. Also, the Yours Truly Johnny Dollar Anniversary T-shirt is available at yourstruly.greatdetectives.net. That's yourstruly.greatdetectives.net. Now it's time for today's episode of Rocky Jordan. The original air date on this one is October 9th of 1949, and this one is The Man with No Name.
Buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan, and this week's story, The Man with No Name.
It was night, around 11 or so. Business was about as slow as a camel in a headwind. Few people were scattered through the tambourine, but none of them was making much of a noise in the register. It was the man on table 6, however, who caught my eye. He'd ordered a bottle of gin and a pitcher of tonic, and was doing his own mixing and enjoying what he made. He was a big man, stocky, with a bush of gray hair and a pair of sharp blue eyes. His skin was bronze and tough. I figured he'd spent a lot of time outdoors. When his hand started fumbling through his pockets looking for a match, I stepped up to his table and offered him a light.
Oh, thank you.
A second, I'll get you a book of matches.
No, it's not necessary right now. You're the proprietor of this place, aren't you?
That's right. Jordan's the name, Rocky Jordan.
Well, I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Jordan. I've enjoyed this hour or so here very much. Won't you join me?
Oh, fine, I'd like to.
Gin and tonic?
I'll pass if it's all the same to you.
Certainly. Through the evening, you must get many offers. I like your place, Mr. Jordan. I like it very much. Most of all, I like the fact that you and your help leave the customer alone. This is something that other restaurants and cocktail lounges could well emulate. To leave alone is an attribute lost by our civilization.
Perhaps you'll come back soon.
Perhaps, Mr. Jordan. I plan to leave the continent in a day or so, but I hope one day to come back to Africa. One day soon, Mr. Jordan. Africa has much for me.
Oh, have you been in the interior?
I have. Matter of fact, that's where I've spent most of the last few years. Wonderful years, Mr. Jordan. Primitive land with primitive peoples, but they both meant a great deal to me.
And a lot of people feel that way, Mr. Jordan.
Have you ever been on an elephant hunt, Mr. Jordan?
Yes.
Then you know how thrilling an experience it can be. Marvelous. Marvelous beasts, elephant. Had an exciting time. Mr. Jordan. You're an American, aren't you?
I am.
American and business in Cairo. Boston wasn't right for you, nor Seattle, or New Orleans, or Chicago. Turned your back on your past and came to Egypt for reasons which are your own concern, of course. Mind you, I'm not prying.
What are you doing?
What am I doing, indeed? Perhaps I'm trying to find a justification for something I once did.
And now, look, Mr.
I can't say I'm not a happy man. I am. I am happy. I'm contented. For the past few years, I've lived the kind of life I've wanted, and not many people can say that, can they? Well, one last swallow. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Thank you for a fine evening, for the fine cafe, for the fine gin and tonic, for the comfort you've been to me. Good night.
I watched him walk out of the tambourine, pause for a moment in the doorway, then disappear in the dark up the street. Well, people come and people go. You meet all kinds running a cafe in Cairo, as I do. And usually you don't give them a second thought. This time it was different. I started to the register when I heard someone call my name.
Mr. Jordan?
He was a thin man in a light suit and a large brim Panama hat. He was sitting in the shadows at the end of the bar.
Mr. Jordan, could you come here for a moment?
Yeah, sure. Oh, what's on your mind?
My name's Craven, Gerald Craven. That man.
Hmm? What man?
The one you were talking to, the big fellow with the gray hair.
What about him?
His face looks familiar.
Yeah, a lot of faces do.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Well, you talked to him for quite a while. Surely
I said I don't know.
All right, don't get sore. Just anxious, that's all. Do you have a phone I could use?
Yeah, at the end of the bar.
Well, don't you have one that's a little more private?
All right. Come on.
Sorry to bother you like this, Mr. Jordan. It's just that it's very important.
Yeah,
for me to...
sure. Yeah, it's my office. Oh, there's the phone. Help yourself.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
I'll be out in front.
Hello, operator. I'd like to put a call into New York City in the United States.
New York?
Don't worry, Mr. Jordan. I'll handle the charges. The number is Plaza... just a moment, please, operator. Do you mind, Mr. Jordan? This is a pretty confidential call.
Oh, no, no, not at all. Make yourself right at home. Just don't forget to stop by and see me on your way out. He didn't forget. He made the call, paid me for it, and left. That, I figured, was to be that. It was, for 4 days. Craven, the phone call, and the gray-haired guy who drank gin and tonic faded from memory till I picked up a copy of the Cairo Mail 4 days later. A small article on an inside page got my interest. It said the police had fished a murdered man out of the Nile. The thing about the article that struck me most was that the police had to say about the way the man died. They said it looked like he'd been shot in the face with an elephant gun. I figured that maybe I ought to run over to the station and tell Captain Sabaya about the things I had in my mind.
Come in, Jordan. Come in.
Oh, thanks, Sam.
Sit down, Jordan. And to what do I owe this unexpected visit?
Just curiosity, Sam. Hand this little item in the paper.
Oh?
And the one in the lower left-hand corner.
Sam. Oh, the man who had been shot in the face with an elephant gun.
Hmm. Who is he, Sam?
We have not been able to identify him.
Seems to be a lot of mystery about it.
Jordan, what do you know of this?
Oh, very little. A man came into my cafe a few days ago, drank a lot of gin and tonic, talked about an elephant hunt, a lot of other things.
An elephant hunt, you say, Jordan? Hmm. A moment, please. I would like you to look at something. Here it is. Now, study these photographs for a moment, Jordan. They are of the man we took out of the Nile. Is he the one you speak about, the one who was in your cafe?
Whoever shot him didn't leave much face for identification.
Quite purposefully, in my opinion.
Looks about the right size. Clothes are the same. Very tan skin, Sam?
Yes.
Gray hair?
Gray hair.
Yeah, he's the one, all right. He's the gin and tonic man. Oh, what's this photograph, Sam?
Oh, that is a close-up of the inner portion of his right arm. Observe the tattooing.
Can't miss it.
Now, tattooing, of course, is quite common in the East, but not the tattooing of numbers.
11-24-42.
11-24-42. What does that mean to you?
Nothing.
Jordan, when a foreign national is murdered in Cairo, quite naturally, I am under extreme pressure from my superiors, who in turn are under pressure from the foreign embassy involved, whatever it may be. Now, Jordan, I must apprehend the murder.
Yes, Sam, I know that.
Now, you will be so good as to relate to me in detail the exact happenings the night this man with no name visited your cafe.
Sam, be glad.
And, Jordan, I must insist that you leave out nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, proceed.
Well, I told Sam all I knew about my conversation with the gin and tonic man, about Gerald Craven and his questions concerning that man's identity, and about the telephone call in New York City. Then I went back to the tambourine. I was sitting in my office thinking about the whole affair when suddenly I found myself wanting to know more about that telephone call. A little later, I was talking to one of the girls at the phone company's business office.
Yes, I have the record of a phone call made from your number to New York City.
Well, the call was made by one of my customers, and I'd like to know the charges.
It was a person-to-person call to Gloria Hennessy at Plaza 79970, and the charges will be £5.35, including tax.
Okay, thanks. Well, I found out what I wanted, who the call was made to. What I was going to do with the information, I didn't quite know. But right then and there, I had something else to think about. I no sooner had put the phone in the cradle when a big hand grabbed me by the arm.
Mr. Jordan, turn around.
You don't give me much choice.
I'm sorry if I appear to be rough, but we must talk. Look at me.
I did, but I had to look up to see his face. He was 6'6" or more, and he was from someplace in the middle of Africa. But I figured he'd had some education. He had a grim look and a vice-like grip, and I knew he meant business.
My name is Jonah. I'm a Zulu from South Africa. We have something to talk about.
How did you get in here?
4 nights ago, the Bwana came into your place.
Lots of people come into my place.
The Bwana, you remember. He drank gin and tonic.
I hadn't let loose
you. Last night, he left the rooming house to come back to your cafe. I never saw him again. The police found him dead in the river.
Let go, I said. You'll get a knee in your stomach.
And you, Mr. Jordan, will have a broken arm. Now listen to me. He knew no people in Cairo. He saw a few people here, but someone he saw killed him. And perhaps it was you.
You can stop squeezing. I get your point.
I do not know it was you, but I shall watch you, Jordan. I shall watch you most closely. And if I find out it was you who did the killing...
What then?
Then you shall die most hard. Good evening, Mr. Jordan.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. All good cooks know it's flavor that counts in satisfying healthy appetites. That's why millions of housewives, particularly those with long cooking experience, depend on Del Monte tomato sauce for added flavor. There's just no better way to brighten plain foods or give added zest to low-cost meals. One Del Monte enthusiast, Mrs. John H. Anderson of Los Angeles, said,
Del Monte tomato sauce has plenty of good, rich tomato flavor. That's why it's been my favorite for over 20 years. It really brings out the flavor of the food you cook with it, and I say that's the test of a good tomato sauce. Another thing, Del Monte tomato sauce is dependable. I use it many ways. Vegetable soup, meatloaf, stuffed peppers, meat pies, and so on. Del Monte tomato sauce is always good.
Thank you, Mrs. Anderson. It's a fact. American housewives have bought more cans of Del Monte tomato sauce than any other brand. Flavor is the reason. The flavor that's never been matched. You can depend on Del Monte, the original tomato sauce. Many women buy it by the half dozen or dozen cans. Then they're never without it. And now we take you back to Cairo, and tonight's Rocky Jordan story, The Man with No Name.
Well, Jonah, the Zulu, let me keep my arm and left. The next incident didn't happen till some hours later. After the supper rush, I went for a walk in the Cairo night. One, to get some fresh air. Two, to do some thinking about the affair of the man with no name. I was moving down the Sharia Muhammad Ali when a street peddler came up from behind.
Well, highest quality type water for sale at most reasonable prices. The good effendi wishes to purchase from noble water seller some of the same.
No, thanks.
Oh, do not rush off yet, good effendi. Observe the good, clean, clear water. Observe the cool, comforting water.
Look, I'm not thirsty.
Observe, same, and listen, Jordan Day. Jordan Day, is it not?
It is.
You are wanted.
By whom?
A lady of your kind. Even at this moment, at an address in Cairo, an American lady waits for you.
With a candle in the window? What's her name?
Gloria Hennessy, she is called.
Gloria? The address?
742 Sharia El Orca.
Thanks.
I have done her bidding. Assalamu alaikum. What a forfait!
He slid off into the dark and left me thinking about Gloria Hennessy. 742 Sharia El Orca, he had said. Well, it was worth a try. 10 minutes later, a cab dropped me off in front of a small hotel just outside the Bab el Nasser gate. Gloria Hennessy's apartment was second floor front. I rapped on the door. A moment later, it came open. I was looking full into the face of a brown-eyed blonde who had got her hair color out of a bottle. She was loaded down with emir, and the clothes she was wearing wouldn't have passed inspection for a sultan's dancing girl.
I've been waiting for you, Mr. Jordan.
I should have let me know sooner.
Come in, please.
Yeah.
This divan will be fine.
Thank you.
Drink?
No, thanks.
Do you mind if I...
No, go right ahead.
I wonder if you know who I am.
My name's Gloria Hennessy. Miss...
What I meant was, I wonder if you know more than my name.
You're from New York. 4 days ago, you received a phone call from Cairo from Gerald Craven. That suitcase in the corner still got the TWA tag on it, so it figures you flew here in a big hurry.
Oh, that's right.
Just to see me?
In a way, yes. A few nights ago, a man came into your cafe. Big, heavyset, drank gin and tonic.
A lot of people are interested in him.
I know.
Even the police.
Yes, I read about that, too. It's a shame. If I'd been able to see him, I wouldn't have had to bother you like this.
Well, so far, it's been no bother.
All I want you to do, Mr. Jordan, is tell me who that man was.
Don't you think you ought to get Craven in here before we take this any further?
What?
The cigarette in the ashtray hasn't got any lipstick on it. You wipe yours off before you smoke.
All right. It's Craven. It's Craven, you may as well come in.
Good evening, Jordan.
Hi.
We thought it'd be better if I spoke to you alone.
I already told Craven I didn't know who that man was.
That was 4 days ago.
And you think I may know now?
Yes.
Why don't you ask the police?
They don't know.
The police figure he was shot in the face on purpose with a big gun so he couldn't be identified. What's so important about that man? Why all the questions about his identity?
Mr. Jordan, I am willing to pay you $1,000 if you tell me who that man was.
A lot of dough for the name of a dead man.
I have the money right here in my purse. You can leave with it.
I could make up a name.
You could.
Sorry, lady. I'd be happy to take your money, but I don't know who that man was.
Well, then, I suppose that's that. You were my last hope, Mr. Jordan. I really thought you might know. Suppose I'll have to go back to New York without knowing.
Well, that's all we've got to talk about. I'll run along now.
Thank you very much for trying to help me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, Miss Hennessy.
Yes?
There was a tattoo on the dead man's arm. Numbers.
Oh?
11, 24, 42. Mean anything?
I don't know.
Date, maybe. An American would mark a date like that. No. Anyway, Miss Hennessy, that's all the help I can give you.
Thank you, Jordan. Thank you very much.
Oh, one thing more.
Yes?
Why don't you just keep that $1,000 handy? Who knows? Maybe before this thing's over, I'll know the name of that man. I left and walked out into the street. I knew I couldn't catch a cab on the lonely Sharia El Rokar, so I decided to walk back to the tambourine. I had a lot to think about anyway. I wound my way through the dark Cairo streets, up the Sharia Ibrahim Pasha, past the Empire Club and the Victoria Hotel. Then I turned off, making my way down the Sharia El Bin, half street, half alley. That's when it happened. The window pane in front of me shattered, and it didn't take a lot of figuring to realize I was a target. I hit the pavement and scrambled on all fours for the protection of some garbage cans. Well, I waited until it looked like it was over, and I picked myself up. That's when I saw that 6'6" mass of muscle standing at the end of the alley. Jonah the Zulu. I started to look around for a lead pipe.
Mr. Jordan!
What's the matter? Run out of bullets?
You do not have to be afraid of me.
Prove it.
I did not shoot at you.
I have been following you as I said I would, but I did not shoot at you. Look, I have no gun.
You could have thrown it away.
No. This shooting has convinced me that there is more to the Buona's death than I suspected. Perhaps it was not you who killed him.
Well, thanks for the vote of confidence. Who threw those shots at me?
I did not see. Mr. Jordan, let us talk.
You talk. I'll listen. Who is this Buona of yours?
A friend.
He's got a name.
I never knew it. We met 3 years ago in Cape Town. I was going to the university. I've been showing him Africa ever since.
You must know something about him.
Only that he was a good friend.
He had some numbers tattooed on his arm. 11-24-42.
A date he wished to remember.
Why?
He never said.
You're a great help. What was he doing in Cairo?
Arranging for air passage on TWA for New York City. He wished to arrive in the United States before some holiday.
What holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? What day does it come on this year?
I believe he said the 24th.
4th of November. 11-24-49. The tattooing said
11-24-42.
Yeah, 7 years difference. 7 years.
What does it mean, Mr. Jordan?
I know one thing it could mean. Come on.
Where are we going?
Put in a claim for $1,000. And incidentally, find an answer to this mess of a man with no name. Jonah and I took out fast, like the super chief on a downgrade, retracing my steps down the Ibrahim Pasha across to the Shari El Rokar. The hotel I was looking for was easy to find because I'd been there once before. So was the apartment, second floor front. When I rapped on the door, it was opened by the same one who'd opened it for me before. And a moment later, Jonah and I were inside, and Gloria Hennessy was looking at me kind of funny.
Mr. Jordan.
The same. Oh, this is Jonah, a friend of mine, I think.
How do you do?
How do you do? Why did you come back, Mr. Jordan?
Oh, maybe to earn that $1,000. Jonah was a close friend of the man who was killed.
I see. He knows who he was?
No.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
You will.
Please get to the point, Mr. Jordan. Mr. Craven and I are leaving Cairo soon.
I want to ask you one question, Miss Hennessy.
What is it?
That's it.
That's what?
That's the question. Is it Miss Hennessy or Mrs. Hennessy?
I don't see what that's got to do...
I haven't heard your answer yet.
Maybe I don't think I ought to answer it.
You don't have to.
Where are you going?
Your purse here on the table.
You leave that alone.
Sure, after I find what I want. Here. Driver's license, this'll do. Mrs. Gloria Hennessy. Here's your purse. I guess it was I who made the first mistake. I looked at you and started calling you Miss. Maybe it was wishful thinking.
Oh, don't worry, mister. A guy with your manners hasn't got a chance. All right, so I'm Mrs. Gloria Hennessy. What does that mean?
And let's see if we can figure it out.
What's going on at... Jordan.
Hi, Craven. Come on in. Just time to see me earn $1,000.
Who's this?
Oh, his name's Jonah. He's not going to like you.
Gerald, he's found out that I'm Mrs. Hennessy and not Miss. He's trying to make something out of it.
Oh, but that's preposterous,
isn't it? Yeah, not if the man who's dead was Mr. Hennessy. You supply the first name, Glory. He was your husband. Now, the way I figure it went something like this. 7 years ago, Hennessy disappeared. I don't know what the circumstances were. You'll have to tell me. Anyway, he spent the next 7 years in Africa, living the kind of life he wanted. But after 7 years, New York says a man is legally dead. All his possessions, and probably quite a bit, go to his wife. Hennessy didn't want that, because I don't suppose he liked you very much, Gloria. He was making it a point to get back to the United States before the 7 years were completely up. Well, that wasn't so hot for you, so you decided to kill him in a way the body couldn't be easily identified. And as far as the law knew, Hennessy'd been dead for 7 years. The riches are all yours.
Jordan, you're a beast.
Please, Gloria. Jordan, that's a very fanciful theory you have.
When I tell Captain Sabaya about it, you'll just lift a few fingerprints off the dead man. Check it with some of Hennessy's papers in New York. That'll tell you how fanciful my theory is. Do you want to call Sabaya? Or shall I? Both Craven and Gloria stood there, neither moving. I was wondering what Craven had in mind, and I found out. He started slowly, as if he was making for the phone. But as he got there, he turned his back toward me, and his hand made a dart for his inside coat pocket. It never got there.
Stop, stop.
Jonah got to him first. He grabbed Craven by the scruff of the neck with one hand and the seat of the pants with the other. Then lifted him high over his head and with all his might threw him against the far wall. Well, as it turned out, when Craven landed, he wasn't even in condition to dial a phone. So it was I who had to put the call in to Captain Sam Sabaya, Cairo Police.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story.
What gives Del Monte ketchup such marvelous flavor?
Pineapple vinegar.
Pineapple vinegar? Sounds good. But just what is this pineapple vinegar?
It's a superlative vinegar, crystal clear and sparkling. It's made by Del Monte for its own use. No other ketchup has it.
And that's what gives Del Monte ketchup its wonderful flavor?
Yes, it's one of the things, and a very important one. Ketchup experts say the finer the vinegar, the better the ketchup flavor. It isn't that you taste the vinegar itself. It's the way pineapple vinegar brings out the very best in the other ingredients that is so important. It accents the rich, sunny flavor of Del Monte's plump, vine-ripened tomatoes. And it helps blend the special herbs and spices with the tomatoes to make catsup that just can't be topped for hearty, satisfying flavor.
Del Monte catsup has always been my favorite. Now I know why it adds that appetizing zest to plain foods and everyday dishes.
Friends, if you haven't already tried Del Monte catsup, make a note to get some next time you go shopping. We know you'll like it.
And you'll be surprised at its low price.
For all its goodness, Del Monte catsup costs less than many other quality brands. Back now to Rocky Jordan and the conclusion of tonight's story.
Well, Sam came and I told him what I knew. He hustled Gerald Craven and Gloria Hennessy to the station, told Jonah to go back to his rooming house. He'd talk to him later. He told me to go into his office and wait till he had a chance to talk to Gloria and Craven. And 20 minutes later, he came into the office and roused me out of his squeaky chair.
Hello, Jordan. Jordan.
Hmm?
Please, use the other chair. I do not like you looking through the papers on my desk.
I didn't find much, Sam. Just your weekly quota of the traffic ticket.
Your Occidental brand of humor has always failed to impress me.
Sorry?
Well, Jordan, as they have confessed all, I understand from my conversations with Craven and Mrs. Hennessy that this is approximately what occurred. After Hennessy arrived in Cairo from the interior of Africa, he sent a telegram to his wife in New York advising her of the fact that he was not dead and was returning within the 7-year period.
She must get a big kick out of that.
She did not know whether or not it was a hoax, so she dispatched her lawyer, Gerald Craven, to Cairo to find out. He found out it was no hoax, called her, and her long conversation with you, of course, was not to determine the identity of the dead man, which she already knew, but to determine whether or not you knew his identity.
And when I said I might find out, Craven took his bullets after me.
Precisely. Well, coffee, Jordan?
No, thanks, Sam. Get back to the tambourine.
Tambourine? What is the hurry?
I want to cross gin and tonic off my menu.
For the finest in tomato flavor, enjoy the whole family of Del Monte tomato products.
Del Monte ketchup and chili sauce.
Del Monte tomato sauce and canned tomatoes.
And Del Monte tomato juice.
Remember, buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Rocky Jordan, written by Larry Roman and Gomer Cool, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya, and is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is Quest for Tranina. Looking for a glamorous dessert that's easy to prepare? Then serve Del Monte Fruit Cocktail. It's ready diced. Its five tasty fruits are mixed and carefully balanced for a sparkling flavor treat. Best fruit cocktail you ever tasted. Del Monte, the brand that always puts flavor first. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old-Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Well, a great setup for the episode. Just a lot of mystery with him refusing to even divulge his name. A good way to set up the story. The one thing I found myself wondering, and maybe I don't understand this because I don't drink, but he essentially said that what he liked about being in the bar was being left to himself pretty much to go ahead and mix his drink. So if what you like is being left alone to mix your drink, why would you go to a bar where you pay more for the liquor and there's a chance that people might actually bother you? It seems like you could just mix it in your hotel room, but I don't know, maybe there was a law in Egypt at the time, because it was a Muslim country, against purchasing your own alcohol. And you could only get it at the Cafe Tambourine. The appearance of Roy Glenn in this episode is worth noting. We rarely hear black actors on these programs, and it's rare for them to appear, and even rarer to get a pretty good part. While he's playing a Zulu, it's not played with like any of the negative stereotypes that would be associated with that sort of role. The character's a tough guy, but he's fiercely loyal and just a great help to Rocky. Roy Glenn did a lot of radio acting work. He was best known for his performances on Amos and Andy, where he also starred in the TV program as well. But he did a lot of other programs as well, several episodes of Suspense, Lux Radio Theater, Jack Benny Show, and even a few Johnny Dollar episodes, though I think he was in minor roles in that that didn't really stand out. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for Boston Blackie, and then next Wednesday, it will be our celebration of the 70th anniversary of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and we'll have an episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar featuring John Lund. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be back with another episode of Rocky Jordan. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.